Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY 2023 earnings conference call of RHI Magnesita India Limited, hosted by HSBC. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. From the management team, we have with us today Mr. Parmod Sagar, MD and CEO, and Ms. Vijaya Gupta, CFO. We will start the call with brief opening remarks and then open the call for Q&A. I will now hand the call over to Mr. Parmod Sagar for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. I'm Parmod Sagar, Managing Director and CEO of RHI Magnesita India Limited, and with me is Ms. Vijaya Gupta, Chief Financial Officer. I will start with some update on our recent acquisitions, followed by RHI Magnesita's Q3 financial results for 2023. We acquired the Indian refractory business of Dalmia Bharat Refractories Limited via share swap agreement executed on 5th of January 2023. DOCL, being one of India's leading refractory player and a long-term trusted partner to customers in the region. It marked decisive step in RHI Magnesita's strategic growth plan and will enable to integrate company to increasingly serve our customers with a local for local approach while offering a broader range of products. DOCL gives us a strong inroad into the industrial segment of the market, where traditionally we have been less prominent. Also gives us production footprint in the western and southern markets, where we had no manufacturing capacity earlier. Further, we have executed a business transfer agreement with Hi-Tech Chemicals on 19th October 2022 by way of slump sale, and the process of acquisition has been completed on 31st January 2023. It manufactures high-quality flow control products largely for steel industry. It also has some products for iron making as well. Hi-Tech will strengthen and enlarge company's product offering and position in domestic and international flow control refractory business. Both these acquisitions put together takes our local production capacity to beyond 5 lakh tons per annum and our market share to about 30%. We have something about 150,000 of unused capacity, which should be sufficient to meet the future demand of the consumer industry for next couple of years. We have planned for modernization of the newly acquired manufacturing assets, where we would be focusing on this for next one to two years' time. The company registered 32% growth in income compared to the 9 months of the previous financial year. The 9 months financial year 2022-23 income stood at rupees 1,860 crores. I repeat, 1,860 crores as compared to rupees 1,413 crores during the 9 months financial year 2021-22. The PBT stood at rupees 287 crores during this period, as against 227 crores during 9 months financial year 2021-22, impacting PBT margin by -0.6% due to higher cost of trading goods and foreign exchange fluctuations. Looking forward, all our key strategic initiative to support future growth and further profitability improvements are now fully on track. On the M&A front, for the integration of Hi-Tech and DOCL, we have initiated a project exclusively named Milan, focused on integrating the companies into the RHI Magnesita to leverage the full strength of both companies along with RHI Magnesita's best talent. The project aim to work together for full integration of the business and drive the maximum common value and synergies. Industry looking forward on production, the demand from continue remain positive. In fiscal 2023, the cement production is expected to grow by double digit. This will increase the consumption share across the cement industry significantly. Crude steel production is expected to grow by 4% and aluminium production by 1.5 to 2% in fiscal 2023. Thus, the increased production of end-use industry of refractories will positively impact the demand in fiscal 2023. Refractory industry demand is expected to reach 1.6 million ton in fiscal 2023, growing by 6% year-on-year basis. Thank you very much.
So should we
Hi, Ma.
Yes, maybe open lines for questions now. Thank you.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Viraj Kacharya from Securities Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Just have a couple of questions. First is, you know, so sometime back before these acquisitions, we had outlined a capex of around 354 crores. And post these acquisitions, you know, we have a sizable underutilization in terms of the capacity. So, you know, on a overall capacity of plus 5 lakh tons, you know, we are operating around 65-70%. So you also mentioned that you have sufficient capacity available to meet future demand. So the question is that, you know, in one of the press articles a few days back, we talked about an overall capex of $400 million and annual spend of somewhere between $35 to $40 million. So can you just provide, you know, a perspective in terms of where are we, what is this capex for, and how are you seeing the overall demand and play for us, you know, on next, say, 3 to 5 years.
Okay. Thank you very much. Very valid question. And actually, my apologies. The journalist who was interviewing Stefan actually misunderstood. Stefan was saying, we have spent 400 million euro in our acquisition and further capex. Okay. So we already spent almost 370 million on these acquisitions and all. And next 25, 30 million was the only capex which we were thinking we will spend in next 3 to 5 years time. Is it clear now?
Yes, sir. So basically then the second part of the question, which is largely in terms of the overall demand environment, either in terms of export and domestic, you know, where do you see opportunities for growth? So now we are almost 30% of the market, but there are many customers who we still have very low wallet share, say one being Tata Steel. And similarly in terms of exports, so how do we see growth panning out for us over next, you know, 3 to 5 years? If you can just provide a perspective on that. And, you know, we also have a parent also has a trading business of somewhere around 500 to 600 crores. So any update on that if you can share?
Sure. So I will split this question, my answer, to two, three parts. One is domestic demand. That industrial industry in general, whether it's steel or cement or glass, the demand is very strong. And in spite of having 30% now the market share, we see many opportunities to grow the business further, particularly in segments, a few segments where we are not as strong as we can be. So there are opportunities to increase the business over there. If we talk about export, Short term, I would say there's a headwind because of this ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine, resulting into short of business in those countries which we were traditionally doing. And at the same time, it has created this energy crisis in the European region. So because of this, the demand in Europe is subdued, I would say. It is like in a recession. So I don't know really when it will come out of that. So for the short term, I would not see any upsurge in export. But in the long term, we expect that our export will rise to something like 24-25% from 17-18%, which is now. I hope I cover everything.
Yeah, just one last question and I'll come back
trading,
in the queue.
Trading. Yes, we are doing some trading business, as you said, 500-550 crores. So this will continue, though going forward, maybe it will come down a little bit because if we will start producing some of the products in India with capacity available now, so this may come down in coming days.
So my question was more on the trading which the parent entity does, you know, which is outside the RHI Magnesita India.
Freedom means what?
So the, you know,
I'm not clear. Can you come again?
Yeah, I'll just follow up on this little later. So one last question and I'll come back in queue. On the fundraise, you know, we talked about close to 1500 crores is what you're looking to raise the money. And since we don't have any capex requirement, the current cash generation itself from the combined entity would be significant to repay the debt even after the capex. So what is this 1500 crores fundraise for? You know, if you can give some color, you know, what is the thought process behind?
You know, we want to raise this money to repay the loan to some extent, and maybe about 20%, 25% is
for general corporate,
corporate purposes.
Yeah. So essentially, we have borrowed and for other purposes, so that we are, we have sufficient gearing to take care of the opportunities if it comes in future.
Okay. So you said 20-25% is for other corporate purposes. That's almost like 300-350 crores. So anything in particular there or?
Right now, we will not be in a position to clarify much.
Okay. I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rajesh Mazumdar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Rajesh.
Yeah, I just had two questions. One was that the gross margin we see this quarter is the lowest since we saw in 2Q FY21. That is about 34%. We've been normally doing between 37-38. Last year at the same time we did 41-42, but that was an aberration. But we've come down to 34. So how should we see the gross margin sustainable going forward? That was the first question, sir.
Okay, so the gross margin has come down. There are two reasons. One is material cost, which has gone up because, you know, during September, I think August onwards, the raw material was going up, and we had some good inventory in hand, which is of high cost. And then all of a sudden, the raw material prices start diluting or softening October onwards. So the high value inventory was in place, and at the same time, this devaluation of Indian currency hit us badly, around 11% or so. So this is the reason.
Okay, so will that continue into fourth quarter as well, high inventory, or is it already out of the system?
This quarter, running quarter, it will have some impact, a little less than last quarter. But April onward, I think we will have a full present price inventory in place.
Okay. And so my second question was, you mentioned that you're raising the funds for repaying. That means you've already taken on debt for, because as of the 30th September, we hardly had any debt. So what is the debt right now we have? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We, to fund this acquisitions, we have taken loans. And that is what, you know, it is around, we have approval of 1,300 crores.
Okay, so the fundraiser, so this loan is more of a bridge loan for the acquisition kind of thing, after which you'll probably repay it with this fundraise. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And so my last question was on DOCL. What do you see sustainable top line and margins in this company? Because last year, so it was just 10% margin and 900 odd crores of turnover. So in a steady state, say, where it reaches 85% utilization, and by which year can we see that?
It's very early stage to predict any numbers as of now. We have just acquired on 5th of Jan, and we are, you know, just evaluating plant by plant, product by product. So as of now, it's really difficult to predict. Maybe in future, I will be able to give you some good news.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Dhananjay Bagrodia from ASK Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. So I wanted to understand this market share of 30%. Could you basically subclass across which segments and how that works? Which segments are we 30% in? And yeah, that's the first question.
So basically, if we talk about 100% business of us, so 30% is divided, out of this 30%, 72% is steel and 28% is industrial post-merger.
Okay.
And when I say industrial, it is cement, glass, non-ferrous, lime, EEC, everything.
Sure. And so I just wanted to understand how much of our business would be sticky. Let's say if there is a slowdown tomorrow in steel across, then in our business, across our three segments, how would that hurt? Would it? Would our revenues also drop in line with utilization drop, or how would that play?
I'll just take this question. Is, you know, Dhananjay, what happens is steel companies keep producing. Even in a downturn, and actually we do not see any such trend because our demand is quite robust. And we see steel growing at a rate of 10 to 12% in the coming years.
And, okay, so then would it be fair to assume that even if there's a for us, incremental growth will keep happening regardless of utilization levels? Because
your voice is very low. Can you please speak a little louder?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah. So it's fair to assume that even with a downturn as such, if there were to be one, our demand will still keep growing in line.
Our demand will be growing.
I would say differently. I would say as of now, the thrust from government is on infrastructure. So that's what Vijay is trying to say. As of now, we can see that demand will continue like this. Okay?
Okay. Sure. And lastly, between the three companies now, since we are now a merger between the three, between RHI and now Hi-Tech and now Adani Bhar, what would be the return ratios and profile of each company in terms of how they are segmented, positioned segmentally?
See, what we see is together we'll be able to have some margin around 14 to 15%. Individually, as Sagar sir has said, it is too early to make comments because we are still evaluating. Yes, we'll unlock production capacities, what we have, plus unlock synergies. And Hi-Tech, which have acquired, is high on value-added segments, so that should benefit.
Okay.
But long-term sustainable is 14 to 15% EBITDA margins is what we see.
Okay, sure. Thank you. I'll come back for more.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Jonas Bhutta from Birla Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, good evening team, and thank you for arranging this interaction. So firstly, just wanted to understand, do this quarter numbers include Hi-Tech?
No. We acquired it on 31st Jan, so we will be integrating only for 7 March numbers.
So in the fourth quarter, Hi-Tech would come in, and would Dalmia also come in or that's even later?
Yeah, Dalmia will also come in. It will have a standalone, but we will consolidate as well.
Okay.
Because it's 100% subsidiary.
Understood. And ma'am, while you did mention that you have the limit for 1300 odd crores, what is the actual debt drawn down on the balance sheet as on date?
1070 crores. As of now, yeah.
Okay, 1070.
1070, yeah, that's right.
Okay. And Sagar sir, you know, I missed out on your explanation as to what led to this gross margin compression.
I said one is raw material cost because the inventory was of high value at higher price bought out. And second is the devaluation of Indian currency. There's an 11% roughly impact of forex loss.
So today, you know, with these two acquisitions, you know, where does our traded goods purchases go down to? As in today, what is it in the 9 months, the percentage of our sales? And, you know, on a sustainable basis going forward with the acquisitions, you know, where does it go down to in 2 years?
As of now, roughly we have 22% traded goods. In particular quarter, last quarter, I think it was 38% or so. But average, if we talk about, say, 2,400 crore business and 5,600, it is 22% or so. I cannot quantify how much it will come down, but definitely it will come down if we start producing locally. But it will take time. We have to optimize product mix and what product we will produce in what plant, what is the logistic cost, what is, you know, dynamics of that plant. So everything has to be looked into. We have, as in the beginning I said, we have created a Project Million. We have a works team of all, you know, operation, finance, HR, everything. So operational works team is looking into it and what makes sense to produce in India, what makes sense to produce in India, but in which plant. So they will be working out everything, and I think next 3 to 4 months time we will have a clear picture.
Got it. Thank you, sir, and I'll come back in the queue for
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Sanjay Kumar from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. First is on DOCL. In DBRL's standalone balance sheet, there is only 40 crores of net debt. So why are we taking on 440 crores? Is it because Dalmia is transferring the resource from DBRL to DOCL on a slump sale basis and then selling to RHI? So for the transfer, DBRL will receive 393 crores. So will this sit as a liability in RHI? What is accounting methodology, and what will be the structure of these cash outlays? Is it based on milestones or pure debt?
Sanjay, just to answer your question, the total purchase consideration was 2,100 crore, out of which 1,707 crore was by way of share swap, and the balance was this loan, which 395 crore. So this is the transaction value. So does it clear? So this will be debt in the books of DOCL.
Okay. And any comment on the valuation? So if we had set up the same capacity, it would have been much lower, or the capital raise that you're doing now, it could have been done earlier instead of share swap, because the 6 month average pricing kind of influenced the purchase consideration.
Yeah, you mean to say the valuation is more or what?
More.
Yeah.
Given the margins,
so
and
more, it is more because you know historically evaluation of RHI Magnesita India is also good, and we have not bought only the present capacity, but we have bought almost double the capacity which we can use in coming days. So the Dalmia OCL plants put together is having a capacity of 300 lakh ton, and utilization capacity as of now is almost 55-60%. So we have bought almost 150,000 ton additional capacity also, which will help us to cater to ever growing demand from steel or cement or also.
Right. So, but we're paying RHI in a valuation for a substandard company. Anyway, never mind. So, my final question on the loan limit, 1,300 crores. So, what will be the interest cost for this debt in FY24? And given the capital raise, so what will be the repayment schedule of this 1,300 crores?
We have taken loan which we would like to, you know, repay with this debt, with this equity raise. So, and the rates are what you get in market. This is at comparable rates.
Okay, ma'am. So can you consider that the entire debt will be repaid in FY24?
We will see as we go. It's too early to comment.
Okay, thank you. I'll come back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kamlesh Kotak from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Kamlesh Kotak, please go ahead with your
Hello.
Question.
Hello.
Am I audible?
Yes, Kamlesh, you're audible. Please carry on with your question. Yeah, Kamlesh?
Mr. Kamlesh Kotak, we can hear you. Please go ahead. It looks like you've gone in the mute mode.
Hello.
Yes, Kamlesh ji, we can hear you properly.
Yeah. Sir, just wanted to understand a bit more about the synergies coming in with these two acquisitions. Could you help us understand more from the product overlap or the client overlap that you may have these two entities serving, which kind of clientele vis-a-vis RHI is servicing clientele, and the product profile vis-a-vis their two companies and ours product profile? Is there any synergy or any complementarity, or how the entire thing synergizes for us going forward?
So RHI Magnesita is having this existing plant of mainly Bhiwadi plant is flow control, Cuttack plant is magnesia carbon brick, Vizag plant is high alumina bricks and mixes. So same way Dalmia is also having some high alumina plants, some basic bricks plant, burnt and unburnt, and Hi-Tech is also having a flow control plant. So I would say this is complementing each other, and at the same time there will be some products which RHI Magnesita India was not producing, and after this acquisition we will be able to produce or already produced in these new acquisition facilities. So definitely there will be some synergies, but it is too early to quantify those.
And in terms of clientele service by these three companies, whether India or globally, is there any synergy or any benefits coming out of that as well?
Yes, looking forward, definitely it will happen.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether you answer this question, sir. What will be the revenue and profitability of these two companies as of now, though they are not put yet consolidated in our numbers? Any ballpark range of the run rate at which they are operating in terms of revenue and margin profile?
Very difficult to tell, but I think last year's number I can say. I think
no, I want the latest numbers. Last year's I would have got somewhat. I mean.
So let's wait for the results. I don't have really, completely, very frank with you, I don't have numbers.
Okay, all right. Finally, geography-wise also, is this going to be materially different in terms of these two companies more into Indian markets vis-à-vis RHI, looking at exports markets also in terms of the future growth?
No, I think all three companies are fit for export as well. Domestic as well as export. Dalmia, Hitech, RHI Magnesita India.
Okay. Lastly, sir, in the last meeting, you discussed upon a lot many products which are meant for exports purpose to RHI Global, as well as some products which we are developing in terms of import substitute, in terms of our own brownfield CapEx at all the three locations. Any update on that in terms of the timeline and how those products project commissioning happening?
Yes, I was talking about some high-end products, very niche market products, which we are bringing
Yes.
to Indian market from our parent company.
Okay.
Out of the three projects, two projects are almost at completion, and I think we should look forward to commercially launch it in next 2-3 months' time. We already did some trial in some plants with very good results.
Should we assume them to start contributing from this current quarter, or it will be next year? How you see that contribution?
I think in next financial year.
Okay. Right. Finally, sir, one point, how the global demand is in terms of what is, you said already there is some kind of a war related, but do you see that thing is receding and now next, what's the medium-term outlook for the growth in the exports markets as you see?
I see it really not that picking up. I don't see at least till June any substantial demand pick up in global level.
Okay. All right. Okay, sir. Thank you very much. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good evening and amazing performance on the revenue side. Sir, can you tell us the volume growth either on YOY or Q-on-Q basis?
If market is growing by, say, 5-6%, we will also be growing with market, maybe a little more.
Sir, I'm asking about the 3Q performance. I mean, what was the volume growth in 3Q FY23?
7.5%, no? This is volume growth over previous quarter. Sahil.
Previous quarter. Quarter-on-quarter you're saying, right, sir?
Yeah, quarter-on-quarter. Yeah. Compared to previous year, YOY, it is 29% volume and 32% revenue growth.
Got it. Got it, ma'am. Second is, I wanted to understand that what is the trend in the RM cost right now? I mean, from whatever we are hearing from the peer, there is a decline in the absolute RM cost.
That's
are we seeing the same?
Yeah.
Yes, it is going down.
Okay, okay. What about the realizations? Have you started passing on the decrease in RM cost?
Not really. We still have a high value inventory in our stocks, but we also start getting a present price inventory. It is a mix of both.
Sir, we will start giving these pass-ons in Q4, or do you think it will happen in Q1?
Q1 next year.
Okay, okay. Sir, now that we want to repay all these loans as soon as possible, are we now also open to inorganic acquisitions?
Nothing is on the table, and we don't see immediate future anything is happening. If a small, very fit into our scheme of things, complementary, definitely we will look into it.
Right, sir. Lastly, on Hitech Chemicals, what could be the sustainable margin range? Because we understand it is a very high value-added product over there. Can we sustainably do more than 25% over there going ahead?
It is a really hypothetical thing. I will not comment on this 25 or so, but yes, the product which Hi-Tech is producing is a high value product, and it will have a better profitability than the other units. But I don't like to give the number as such, because when we merge it into RHI Magnesita, there is a our way of taking the plant to next level. There will be safety aspect and all those things, and we will be very particular about compliance and everything, and everything costs money also, so we don't want any non-compliance issue as well. I hope you understand.
Yes, sir. And on the export side, sir, now that we are also hearing that in Europe, now that winter is past, now there is a bit of moderation in the energy cost also, and therefore a bit of recovery is expected. What are you seeing over there? I mean, how far is the recovery? What do you think?
Energy cost has come down quite a bit, but still it is not that level which it was before this crisis. And at the same time, some of raw material like graphite and so, and zirconia particularly, these are not receding. They have gone up to certain level and they are hovering around that level only. So there's a mix of batch, I would say. And if war stops today, I think in next 3 months or 4 months down the line, things will start improving in a better way.
Right, sir. Lastly, sir, do we have any exposure to Turkey or Syria, sir?
Turkey, we have our own mines, and now recently we acquired one more company in Turkey, and we are bringing a lot of mixes from Turkey also for Indian market, which about say 7-8 months back was really bad because of this energy crisis and devaluation of Turkish lira, their currency, and now things are settling down again.
Sir, my question was more of from the point of the earthquake. So how does that impact our RM cost or maybe our sales to those countries if we have any exposure on the revenue side?
We don't have much export in Turkey, but yes, we have some export. And because of this high energy cost, their production was a bit low, but now I think things are improving in Turkey as well. And raw material prices are also coming down. So I think it will have a positive impact.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from RW Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me, sir?
Hanji, Vipul ji, we can hear you.
Yeah. Firstly, sir, congratulations on a decent sales performance. couple of questions, sir, from my side is how do you see the sustainable gross margin on an annual basis, sir? I understand there will be quarterly variations, but if I go back to 5-7 years also, pre the merger, everything, we never had such low gross margin. So on an annual basis, sir, how do you think the gross margin should look like?
So, Vipul ji, I think in terms of EBITDA, I will tell you the sustainable margin should be 14-15%.
All right. Secondly, sir, in terms of the Dalmia OCL acquisition, we also got access to some mines which were held by the company. So in terms of the mines which we have also acquired by virtue of this acquisition, how much of this, sir, helps us in our raw material security?
Not much. Actually, the mines are quartz-based mines, which we are using for silica bricks in our Rajgangpur plant. And the rest is a bauxite mine, which is not very good bauxite. So still we are using some 20-25% with the high and good bauxite from abroad. So it is helping us, but not in a big way.
Last question, sir, is that, you know, it's been great that, you know, the company has taken an initiative to host a call post the results so that investors can, you know, better understand, you know, the developments. So will this be a regular feature, sir, going forward on a quarterly basis?
If you wish, yes, it will be. It depends
on sir, there is no question. We've in fact reached out to the CFO also earlier, specifically asking for such initiatives. So yeah, so that would be great, sir. You know, quarterly basis, you know, because we are also like a patient long-term investors. So it's great to know about what the company is doing on an ongoing basis. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jinal Sheth from Auriga Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good evening to the team. I'd like to touch upon a question raised by another gentleman on the equity raise. So our net worth, you know, should be approximately 2,800 crores post the issue of shares to Dalmia, and our debt is around 1,100 odd crores. Rough debt equity you're talking about is 0.4. So wanted to understand the thought process of the management in terms of raising equity at valuation, at current valuation, given equity is high cost, and the point being that our cash flows in the coming years are going to be strong. So we could, you know, one way could have been where the parent lends us at a lower cost, or even we raise money from domestic you know, institutions and still pay that off. So just wanted to understand your thought process on that.
See, our RHI's debt equity ratio with this borrowing is 1:1 and not 0.4. Yeah, you're right. Moving ahead, it would be that. But, you know, we as a company have never taken so much of borrowing, and and we want to, as I said, that we want to have this flexibility with us. In future, if we require, we have the capacity to borrow and, you know, see how things pan out. So that's the reason.
I take your point there, but I hope you also understand there is a cost to equity as well, right?
No, that won't be significant. I don't think so. The earnings of shareholders will be jeopardized.
Fine. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Rajesh Majumdar from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me back. So I had a question on the goodwill. Do you know by now or have an idea as to what is the kind of goodwill that will be created from the acquisition, because the purchase price is way above the fair value of Dalmia? That was the first question.
Yeah. No, it is still that we need to work it out within 50 days. So that's still going on. That work is going on.
Okay. And the other question was, regarding our market share, you talked about further, some people were asking about further inorganic acquisitions. But my understanding is that when you've already reached 32-33%, is not there an issue with the Competition Commission as to the market share, as to how far we can go in terms of market share? Will there be a kind of peak in terms of market share hit after this acquisition for some time to come?
You know, I never said we are going for any other acquisition. I said don't want, but if some small acquisition which very well fit into our scheme of thing and can add value, we are open to discuss that.
Okay. So I don't think we are going for a big acquisition where Competition Commission will come into the picture.
Will not like to get into all that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Gunjan Kabra from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. So firstly, I wanted to understand that what we planned was 400 crores of CapEx that we planned initially. So is that a part of the acquisitions that we have done? I mean, if there is, the Dalmia and the Hi-Tech is included in that, right? So there are no more CapEx or no more capacities to be added now. Is that correct?
Absolutely, you are right. We are not going to add any capacity. Yes, sir, there will be some CapEx used to modernize, to upgrade the plant.
So, sir, the total capacity stands at 5 lakh tons, is it? Correct?
Yes.
Out of which?
Around 485 lakh tons.
Okay. So, sir, you guided that we have an unused capacity of 150,000 and Dalmia Bharat is also operating at around 60-65. Dalmia Refractories is around operating at 60-65. So, sir, how are we, and Hi-Tech, I don't know how, if you can guide what capacity utilization is Hi-Tech operating at. So, how are we planning to ramp it up in the coming year? So how do you see the market in next 2 to 3 years with perspective to RHI? I mean, if you can give a broad guideline, I mean a broad thing that how you plan to ramp up the capacity.
You know, like Dalmia, Hi-Tech plant is also running at about 60-65% capacity. So put together both, we have additional capacity with us about 150,000 tons. Which we have visualized that if steel industry and cement industry and all other related industry will keep on growing like they are growing, so they need capacity and which will help us to immediately ramp up. We have a capacity, it is just a matter of ramping up. So it all depends upon market, our end user market. If market is there, we are ready to cater to that market. And apparently, as of now, it looks like market is strong in India.
Sir, and the RHI facility is operating at full capacity utilization. Is that correct?
Not really. As of now, I think we are at about 75% capacity level put together, all three plants. Bhiwadi plant is 85, Cuttack plant is 90, and Vizag is again 70, 65, something like that.
Okay. So, sir, with these acquisitions done, can we expect any one-time expenses that we need to, you know, start operating these plants, or any expenses on that, on those fronts can come in from next quarter or something?
Not really. Definitely there will be expenses and we will do that, but it will not be quarter basis. You know, even if I order up one mixer, it will cost me only 1 crore rupees. It is the delivery time will be 8 months. Anything which we will start doing will have a delivery time, lead time, and after that installation, it will start yielding results. So nothing is going to change in, say, 3-4 months time. Only thing is, what we can do is how we can further increase the productivity, how we can reduce the rejection level and all those things, how we can make the this working place safer, doing good maintenance.
Okay.
All those things we will be focusing for next 3-4 months time.
Okay. Sir, also I wanted to understand that inventories is in our books from last, if you see, it has been increasing tremendously. So what could be the reason for that?
Initially, it was a very sort of a decision by the management, by us, not even here, but globally also. We should have a healthy inventory in our stocks, because during those days, you know, the total supply chain was haywire. The container was not available on the spot. Shipment time was, you know, very high. So we have a lot of FLS contracts, full line contracts, 100% business with steel plants. So we created this inventory to make sure that where we have a business where our partners are relying on us on 100%, we should not fail. It costs us a little bit, but at the same time, we were the person, people who keep on supplying irrespective of the outside situation. So that was the considered decision, and now we are tapering it down.
So what does the number stand today as of December 31st, if you can guide?
Yeah, we have 87 days inventory.
So it was
87. No, 87 is our, sorry, cash conversion cycle. And the inventory what we have is,
109, it was 124 days, but now it is 109, and gradually it will come down to original level of about 90 days.
Sir, and receivable days, if you can tell?
88. Also wanted to understand that on the raw material front, how much is China-based sourcing and how much is from our parent company, RHI Magnesita? If you can bifurcate.
Yeah, roughly 25% is from China and maybe 10%, 12% is from parent company, which we can increase. In any case, we can rely other than China also on our backward integration in South America, North America, Europe. So as of now, it is about 10% or so, 10-12% from parent company.
So 10-12 is parent company, 25 is what was said in China, so rest is?
Rest is from India and from other sources like Turkey. Some products are from our company, some products are coming from other Africa, like graphite, etc. is totally coming from South Africa, Australia. So there are many countries other than China and parent company from where the raw materials are coming. And India is also a big source for low-grade DBM or bauxite.
Okay. Sir, and Dalmia Bharat also, with if it operates at maybe an optimum capacity utilization, is there a potential of margin expansion there also? Or currently I think if we are doing around 14-15% of EBITDA margin, is that possible with Dalmia because it's doing at around 10%?
It is going to be, time taking when we will really understand how much margin we will be generating from that business, because the business dynamics is totally different. They are catering, the Dalmia OCL is catering to low-end products also, like Hermina brakes and mixes, which are not very competitive or niche market products. It's like a commodity product, where the margins historically are less than the niche market products. So I cannot say it will reach to 14-15% or so, but I can say overall, when we consolidate, it will be 14-15%. Okay.
Sir, I thought even, so consolidate, it will be around 14-15, but I thought that even RHI Magnesita, the Indian plant, also has bricks and they also have the specialized refractories that we do. So even the product profile is different with respect to industries that Dalmia caters to, agree. But I thought if we can do around 14-15, is that the possibility for Dalmia Bharat also? Because I thought that the product mix is not very, very different than what we do.
No, I think there's a difference in product mix, but still, let's agree on this, what you are saying, but it will take time. I cannot comment on the timeline.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you so much and good luck.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Parmod Sagar, MD and CEO, and Ms. Vijaya Gupta, CFO, for closing comments. Over to you.
So, thank you very much, everyone, for taking out time from your busy schedules and standing by us, supporting us throughout, and looking forward to your continual support in coming days. I, from RHI Magnesita management side, can assure you we will try our best to run your company as efficiently as we can and try to improve the margins wherever possible. So rest assured, we will not lose our focus on growing this company. Thank you so much.
No, thanks a lot, sir. And thanks, everyone, for joining us. And look forward to you, such interactions in future. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of RHI Magnesita India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.